The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
We have to deny our own wishes, deny our own personal desires, only desiring to fulfill that which God would have us to do, to say, to feel, etc. Again, we're grateful to God for life, a portion of health and strength, and for things being as well as they are. Prayers continue to go out for individuals, families, loved ones, whatever the case may be, who are bereaved. I thank you for the prayers for my own family, my father, and the passing of his sister. And I know that Sister Dale Parker, she's experiencing a recent grief in her family, and so we ask for her your prayers. I went to the funeral and homegoing service for the sister of my own pastor, Reverend Dr. Cecil Farrell, for his passing of his sister, Sister Dorothy. They had that service on yesterday. And so the Lord is definitely taking people home to glory. And yet, even as we sit here, there are individuals who are dealing with matters privately and personally, but yet God still deserves our praise. Come on, somebody, give God a hand clap of praise. God is still good. God is still greatly to be praised. I say it all the time. When we come here, we need to come with expectancy. When we come here, we also need to come ready to give something. Amen. Amen. And the fact of the matter is you just don't know what it took just for somebody to get here to church. And they've come here seeking. They've come here looking for answers. And as much as we love to get happy, we got to make sure people leave here with some hope, some healing, and some help. Amen. Father God, we come right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come to say thank you. Thank you for being better to us than we deserve. Lord, we come to say thank you for being just that good. Lord, because you are our God, that makes you our guard, our guide, and our guarantee. Lord, we had no idea that we would even make it to today. For somebody, they struggled through sleep last night. For somebody, it was just this week. For somebody, it's already been this year. And for somebody, it's not one thing, it's one more thing that continues to happen. But yet, Lord, we continue to press our way as we continue to look toward the hills from which cometh our help, knowing that all our help comes from you, dear God. Sometimes we don't know what to do, where to turn. And so, Father God, we thank you just for your being better to us than we could ever be to ourselves. Now, Father God, as I stand as your vessel, be ever so pleased to stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my mouth. As a matter of fact, dear God, hide me that you would be seen and silence me that you would be heard. Lord, we've come to hear a word from you. You said, let he that hath an ear hear what the Spirit says to the church. So, Lord, we just say, speak. Speak, Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. And we'll be ever so careful to give you all the praise, the honor, and the glory. And it is in Jesus' name, for Christ's sake, that we pray. Let every heart say amen. Again, to all of our family, friends, and guests and loved ones, we say thank you for your sharing with us and for your entrusting us to be able to share a word from the Lord with you. I'm going to ask if you're physically able to stand, if you would please do so. Again, on today, I'm excited to be able to start a short sermon series, a short sermon series that would come from this passage here in the book of Matthew 14. We'll begin it today. We'll conclude the series on next week, but don't think that God does not have a word for us starting on today. Matthew 14, starting with the 22nd verse. I'll be reading 22nd through the 33rd verse. I'll be reading the New International Version of the Bible, so if it reads just slightly different from yours, I declare I am reading from the Word of God. It says, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, And the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." On today, again, beginning on this short sermon series, we want to consider for the subject one of Jesus' favorite words. We want to talk about one of Jesus' favorite words. You may be seated in the presence of our God. One of Jesus' favorite words. There is a word, my brothers and my sisters, that you will find throughout the Old as well as the New Testament that seems to be one of Jesus' favorite words, and that word is come. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus told the disciples, he said, "Come, follow me." In Mark chapter 10, verse 14, people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on him. But the disciples rebuked them, and when Jesus saw this, he said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them." In Isaiah chapter 55, 1, and John chapter 7, 37, Jesus says to all of those who are thirsty, he says, "Come and drink." In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus tells all who are weary and burdened, he says, "Come to me, and I will give you rest." In Luke chapter 14, verse 7, Jesus tells a parable of a certain man who was preparing a great banquet, and he invited many guests. The time of the banquet, he sent a servant out to tell those who had been invited. He says, "Come, for everything is ready." Mark chapter 6, verse 31, the apostles had gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going, they didn't even have a chance to eat. So Jesus said to them, he says, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place to get some rest." Teach, Holy Ghost. Luke chapter 19, verse 5. When Zacchaeus had climbed up a sycamore tree, verse 5 says, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to Zacchaeus, he says, "Come down immediately." Then in Revelation chapter 22, 17, the Bible ends with an invitation. It says, "The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life." Then, of course, here in our text, in Matthew chapter 14, when Peter wondered if he could walk on the water, Jesus said, "Come." In our text, my brothers and my sisters, we find Jesus had just fed 5,000. Now, this narrative is actually written about in three of the four Gospels. It's written in Matthew, Mark, and John. Now, in John's Gospel writing, he tells us in John chapter 6, verse 15, that after Jesus had fed the people, they actually want to make him king. And that's why Jesus made the disciples enter into the boat and head to the other side. I'm trying to teach this thing. Now, I want to highlight a point right through there, Reverend Finley. Some of the most important lessons that we're going to learn in this life will come after some mountaintop experiences. Come on, somebody. Amen. Are they going to come after some great victories? You remember Elijah? Elijah had a mountaintop experience 1 minute, and then the next minute he's running from Jezebel. Do I have any Bible readers in here? Come on, somebody. If you want to find that, it's in 1 Kings chapter 19. Oftentimes, we too, after a supernatural mountaintop experience, it can be followed by a crash down in the valley. Now, I mentioned that this passage we're talking about here is in Matthew, but it's also mentioned in Mark and John. So what I want to do is piece together. I want to piece together what is actually taking place in this scene that unfolds before us, comparing Matthew, Mark, and John's record in relation to this exciting event. Watch this. Matthew writes here in chapter 14, verses 24 and 25, he says, "And the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. It says, shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake." Watch this. Mark writes in Mark chapter 6, verse 48, says he saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them. Then in John, he writes in John chapter 6, verse 19, says, "When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, Keeling, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were frightened." These three accounts, put side by side, help us to get a picture here. Watch this. It's late. It's dark. It's stormy. They are struggling. And wait a minute, not only struggling, they'd been struggling for quite some time. I'm not talking to anybody in here. And oh, wait a minute, I got to add one more thing. I said it's late. It's dark. It's stormy. They are struggling, and they'd been struggling for quite some time. But can I add one more thing? Woo, Jesus. I mean, you would think that would be enough, but I got to add one more thing. I said it's late, it's dark, it's stormy. They're struggling. They've been struggling for quite a time, and wait a minute, Jesus isn't with them. See, you missed that. You almost missed it. You almost missed it. Jesus is not with them in the boat, not here. Ah, you see, remember back a couple weeks ago when Minister Cynthia preached the text, powerful message from out of Mark chapter 4. You see, the last time, teach Holy Ghost, the last time that the disciples experienced a storm like this, of this magnitude, while they were in the boat, they were afraid then too. Am I right about it? But Jesus was with them. God Almighty, Jesus was with them. Remember, he was in the hinder part. He was in the stern of the boat at the time, and he was asleep on a pillow. Now, you gotta follow the text here, because that storm that we heard about even a few weeks ago, that storm, if you look at it in relation to the Bible reading, that was just a few chapters before where we are now. Listen, that storm that Cynthia preached was in Mark chapter 4 of Mark's account. That same storm is in Matthew chapter 8 in relation to when we are talking about now. They were in one storm, and now they're in another one. Am I talking to anybody? So, as I reminisced on that message that Sister Cynthia preached at this point in our text, I had to begin to wonder what the disciples were wondering about. I had to begin to wonder what the disciples were thinking about. As a matter of fact, I began to put on my sanctified imagination, my cap, And I began to wonder if the disciples were asking, wait a minute, where in the is Jesus? I mean, come on, somebody. Where in the is Jesus? Y'all know how we talk when we get upset. Y'all know how we talk when we get frustrated. I mean, I know. I might be, some of y'all wearing your halos too tight. I'm being honest up in here. I mean, I know we're talking about one of Jesus' favorite words, but we got a few too. Especially when stuff gets hot. Especially when we get in some trouble. Amen. I mean, I'm still using my sanctified imagination, Clark. I can imagine somebody saying this don't make no blank sense. It doesn't make any sense. I mean, we did what Jesus told us to do. Am I talking to him? We did exactly what he told us to do. He told us to get in the boat and go out ahead of him. Now we're in a storm. Now we're in trouble, and we're looking around and we're looking for Jesus. You remember, you know how we get. I mean, I've been here before. I've been in one storm because we like to tell ourselves, but sometimes we tell ourselves like parrots. And we repeat stuff in church. And we say, well, I've been in this storm before. Been there, done that. And so Jesus is going to do exactly what he did before. Even when we sing songs like we just sung, be careful. Seeing you work in others, and I want you to work in me. That don't mean he gonna work in you the same way he worked in others. Now he's gonna do a work, and he's gonna do a miracle here. But think of, put your shoes in their shoes. Been in a storm before. You remember then, the last storm they were in, you know how they acted then. And Jesus was with them in the boat. I mean, they looked at Jesus and said, don't you care that we would perish? And he was there, Sister Brown. Only this time, during another storm, and Jesus is not with them in the boat. And this is where the devil gets busy. I don't know if you've been there, but I've been there. This is where the devil gets busy. And he says, So, King, where is Jesus in this storm that you're in? Lewis, Sister Lewis, where is Jesus? I know you said you've been sick before, but now you're sick again. Where is Jesus? No, you say that you had cancer and now it's out of remission. And you saying, well, Lord, just heal me like you did last time. He's saying, where is Jesus with you now in this storm? Comes up and he says, didn't he say he would never leave you nor forsake you? I mean, that is what he said, and then you do know that the devil knows the Bible. You best believe the devil probably knows the Bible better than some of us know the Bible. See, the devil just doesn't read the Bible. The devil understands. That's why he works like he does, because he knows he doesn't have much time. He says, well, looks like you're going through some hard and rough and difficult times. So, and I know you say you've been praying. So where is Jesus in all of this? I'm talking to somebody. Because the devil wants to try to make you think, and to try to make me think, especially when we are going through some stuff, that Jesus has abandoned us during storms and during some difficult trials of our lives. But I need to let somebody know, you need to hold on, my brother. You need to hold on, my sister. You need to hold on, dear child. I've been reading some of the headlines, and they saying that among young people and teens, that the suicide rate and the homicide rate is continuing to creep up. And when you're a teenager, when you get to a point to where you are that hopeless, that speaks to a spirit that has overtaken our children. But yet, Don't just put it on them. We've all been there. Whether you've admitted it, there's some folk who have been in a dark room and contemplated some stuff. Amen. But thanks be to God. Amen. 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 The devil always attempts to try to make us think that Jesus has abandoned us. This has nothing to do with how long you say you've been in church. This has nothing to do with what you say your denomination is. But I'm telling you, when you're going through some stuff, but thanks be to God, because Jesus is going to not only teach Peter, he's going to teach the disciples, and guess what? He's going to teach you and I. A valuable lesson, wait a minute, once again. Because this is not our first storm. Remember, even for the disciples, they just came out of one. They saw what Jesus did. Wait a minute. I need somebody to know. Whether you see him or not, whether we can sense his presence or not, nevertheless, we need to know he sees us. And he is always with us. Jesus already knew that they were struggling. He knew that they were trying to row in the storm. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, truth be told, Jesus is the one who sent them into the storm. Verse 22, it says, immediately, watch this, the NIV says, immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while this text says he dismissed the crowd. In other words, he just had some stuff he had to take care of. Now, if you're taking notes, write this down. I'm going to say it twice so you can get it. Jesus is always interested in revealing more about himself to us and more about us to ourselves. And sometimes, in order for him to do it, he has to put us in situations that are not very comfortable. I'll say it again. Sometimes Jesus is always so interested in revealing more about himself to us and more about us to ourselves that sometimes in order for him to do it, he has to put us in situations that are not very comfortable. I don't know who I'm talking to, but we can't know that he's a great physician. I'm not just talking about going to urgent care. Mm-mm. I'm talking about we can't know he's a great physician until we need great healing. We cannot know that he's a great provider until we are in a great need. We cannot know that he is a great redeemer until we realize that we need to be rescued. We cannot know that he is a great comforter until we come to some great turmoil in our lives. The text says in verse 22, it says immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he's dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, being buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. Wait a minute. The same wind. The same wind that he spoke to just a few chapters before. Listen, the Bible says resist the devil and he will flee, but it doesn't say how far he's going to go, and it doesn't say how long he's going to be gone. The same wind. I think the Bible says he rebuked the waves, but he spoke to the wind. Come on now. I mean, he just, you know, y'all know how we did, he gave him the hand, put the hand up to the wind. But he spoke to the wind. But the same wind has come back and it's against the disciples. But I need you to notice something here, because their struggle did not go unnoticed. Because per my interpretation of the text, it appears that Jesus was watching from his perch on the mountain. This has got to tell you something. This sure enough tells me something. That when we have tough times in life, when the storms break, and we think that we are going down, Jesus is watching. We get those phone calls in the middle of the night, when the doctor gives us some bad news, when our families are falling apart, when our finances are a mess, when we think our world is about to crumble down around us, Jesus sees us and he knows the storms that we are going through. You best believe that every now and then you better pull out them lyrics to them old songs. I know that one song keeps ringing true for me. His eyes on the sparrow. And I know, come on somebody, that's just some stuff you need to know. His eyes on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. In fact, there's nowhere that you can go. I know we don't want to admit it, but there's some places we want to go and hide. And it's not just physical. It's mental. It's emotional. It's psychological. It's relational. And yes, even spiritual. When we try to go and hide, we try to shut ourselves in, try to shut some things down. But can I tell you something? There is nowhere that we can go and be outside of the sight of God. Remember what the word of the psalmist records in Psalm 139, 7 through 10. It says, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle to the far side of the sea, even there your right hand will guide me and will hold me fast. Where are you trying to go? Huh? He says you can't go anywhere that I don't see you, that I'm not watching. So as I begin to close this message, we'll close the series on next Sunday. But as I prepare to close for today, here's the good news. Jesus didn't just watch, Sister Loretta. He didn't just see what they were going through. The Bible says he acted. He stepped in. He came down and he walked to them across the very surface of the waves that were buffeting the boat. He walked across the surface of the stormy waters. I don't know about you, but I've never felt closer to Jesus than in times of crisis. He doesn't just notice my problems. He actually draws near to me and he steps in to help. He doesn't just leave us alone in the midst of our struggles. He doesn't just say, well, you got yourself in this mess because of your disobedience, and we did. Come on, somebody. He doesn't just leave us when we feel that we are about to drown in our situations or maybe even our sorrows. He acts. He comes to our rescue. He comes to see about you, and he comes to see about me. Time and time and time again. Yes, he promised never to leave me alone. Can you say that? He promised never to leave me alone. Can you encourage yourself? Say it again. He promised never to leave me alone. Come on, somebody. tell the truth and shame the devil. He promised never to leave me alone. For somebody, I don't know what you're going through. I don't have to know. God does. But I've come to encourage somebody and tell you that the storm you are going through right now is nothing but a test. It's a test. God already knows what you can handle. Remember what I told you to write down before? Jesus is always interested in revealing more about himself to us and more about us to ourselves. And sometimes in order for him to do it, he has to put us in some situations that are not very comfortable. It just might be, I don't know, it just might be that God is putting you on display so that somebody else can see that he can bring them through whatever it is that they are going through, seeing how he's bringing you through your crisis, through your trial, and through your circumstance and situation. Because what he wants you to know, and he wants anybody to know that's watching you, that mama couldn't save you. Daddy couldn't save you. It wasn't about family and friends that brought you through, but it was grace and mercy. Come on, somebody. It was grace and mercy. It was God's grace and God's mercy. It's grace and mercy that has brought you safe thus far. It's grace and mercy that got you through those sleepless nights, even when you ran out of Kleenex to dab the tears in your eyes. It's grace and mercy that's kept you going, even when you didn't know which way to turn. I'm gonna ask you, who do you look to for help when it seems that you feel like you're all alone in total darkness? Things are being tossed about all around you. Sometimes we seem to be all alone at night in those storms at sea. But when we are tossed by the waves of temptation and doubt, let's understand that the one who loves us will actually come to rescue us. We'll conclude the service, the sermon series on next week. But right now, I need to open up the doors of the church. Because for somebody, that's a word of encouragement. For somebody.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill. Reaching the world without sacrificing the message.